It all started pretty quietly, just a sentence buried in the back of the Education Amendments Act of 1972. No person in the United States shall, on the basis of sex, be excluded from participation in, be denied the benefits of, or be subjected to discrimination under any educational program or activity receiving federal financial assistance. Just a sentence. One that seems pretty straightforward to us, even self-evident. But that little line stirred up our society in ways that few pieces of legislation ever have. We call it Title IX, and perhaps only the Civil Rights Acts changed our nation more dramatically or did more good. But nowhere in that powerful paragraph do the authors say one word about sports. It's not really about sports, but educational opportunities. It says a lot about Americans' unequaled belief in the value of school sports, that we consider them essential to a comprehensive education. Unlike the Civil Rights Acts, Title IX did not even register with most Americans when it passed. But the NC2A's leaders recognized its potential immediately and did everything they could to stop it. They were joined by congressmen, school presidents, principals, athletic directors, and coaches coast to coast, all trying to kill it. But the durable little Title IX has survived every attempt to cut it down. Still, it seemed like just an arcane legal issue until a seemingly meaningless tennis match, just an exhibition really, between an old man and a woman 26 years his junior, made it very real, very fast. The man happened to be a 55-year-old guy named Bobby Riggs, a Hall of Fame player who had won 6 major championships and swept Wimbledon singles, doubles, and mixed doubles titles, all in 1939. He was also an incorrigible hustler. When he first challenged Billie Jean King, who would win 39 major titles herself, to an exhibition match, she declined. But after Riggs crushed top-ranked Margaret Court, who was half his age, King felt compelled to accept. They had planned a match called the Battle of the Sexes for the biggest payday in the history of the sport and bragging rights that would be shared by half the country's population. King had no illusions about the stakes. "I accepted the challenge," he said years later, "so that girls and women could feel positive about participating in athletics." On September 20th, 1973, in front of 50 million Americans watching on TV, about a quarter of our population at the time, and a Houston Astrodome packed with more than 30,000 spectators, both of which are still American tennis records, King stayed strong and focused and won emphatically. In the process, so did millions of American girls, most of whom had not yet been born. "There should be nothing," King said years later, "to stop them from pursuing and fulfilling their dreams." Before Title IX and the Battle of the Sexes, 1 in 30 girls played high school sports. Today, more than half do. Riggs wanted to win that match, and badly, but his theatrics were mostly promotional. He had been taught the game by a woman. He won many mixed doubles titles, and he thought women definitely should be playing sports. It was an act, but one hell of an act. Riggs and King became close friends and talked often. The night before Riggs died of cancer in 1995, King called him to say, "I love you." It all started with a single sentence, and it ended with one, too. In between, everything changed.